Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
I've never been on live television before, but apparently sometimes I don't watch the news.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Because I'm a kid, and apparently Grandpa just gives me the remote after we watch the Powerball.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Happy hump day to everybody out there. A loaded second hour is coming up, but we're going to start it with our good friend Brian Scalabrine. He is on the line now, the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline, Radio.com Sports Insider, and Sirius XM NBA host, and he joins us now. Good to have you back on with us, Brian. We enjoyed the conversation last time. I'll just start with the generic. Can you talk us into the fact that Portland will still win the series against Golden State?
You guys have to tell me. Does Damian Lillard look a little banged up? Like when he grabbed that hamstring, I think he is so explosive going to the basket. It seems like he can get any shot he wants. He doesn't look like the same player we saw against Oklahoma City. So why don't you guys tell me, if you guys are seeing him every single day, doesn't he look hampered to you?
He does look tired. I will say on the hamstring thing, he said after the game that he took a knee in the hamstring so he didn't pull He didn't think it was anything long-term. But I think on that note, too, and this just goes to show you how dumb Oklahoma City was, they didn't double him and trap him the way Denver and Golden State are.
Sure. Yeah, they always have a guy right everywhere he goes. So I just think to beat Golden State, and now this is – we got without Kevin Durant and with Kevin Durant. With Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum got to be otherworldly. But without them, they got to be better than Steph and Clay. So everywhere Steph and Clay goes, they got two guys on them, and they're still moving the ball, and they're playing so differently. But whatever it is for, I think, Portland, which, you know, I think CJ McCollum was great in that Denver series, but they have to play better. They have to take it as a personal challenge that they have the better backcourt. I know that Steph and Clay are the more touted. At any given moment, you know, like historically speaking, they'll probably go down as better players. But in this series right now, if they're going to win, they got to outplay Steph and Clay.
Yeah. Brian Scalabrine, our guest, Radio.com insider, Sirius XM NBA host as well. You know, could you walk us through this? The first moment you saw Golden State and they changed into this in that first, I think it was 2015 season, your first thoughts of the way they played versus how you have evolved your opinion with them this last 5 years?
That's a great question. You know, I was a coach on that staff, and the reason I have like a cushy job set up for the rest of my life here in Boston doing the TV thing where I'm probably not going to ever need to get a different gig. But I watched Golden State against San Antonio in Denver the year before. So Mark Jackson was there, and I saw this look on Popovich's face. It was the look of, everything I know about basketball, I have to throw out the window. These guys are beating me, and I'm playing perfect defense. At that point, I thought, you know, I'm going to chase a championship. I've been kind of surfing the championship wave of the Celtics now for 10 years. I thought, man, I should do this as a coach. It'll be great. I took a job there, and we didn't really morph into how the league is changing. We played a lot of ISO. We were kind of throwback. And once I started seeing Steve Kerr and then the offense that they were running, a little bit of triangle, playing through Draymond Green. I don't know if that was his plan going in, but the whole David Lee gets hurt. I knew what Draymond was capable of. I knew his basketball IQ. And then about a month in, I'm like, the Warriors are going to win a championship because the rest of the NBA, it's just not going to be able to catch up with what they're doing and the shooting that they have and the rim protection in Bogut. So I would say about a month into seeing Kerr, I finally came around to saying, like, I thought they were a championship-level team during that when they played in San Antonio and they lost. But about a month into that season, I'm like, these guys are well ahead of the NBA.
Now, forgive me because you're on with two morons right now, so we're going to ask a dumb question from time to time, and this might be one of them. But as great as those two players are in Clay and Steph, and obviously KD is out and hasn't been on this entire run, and Draymond's really good in his own regard as well. But as great as they are, is it surprising to you that so many teams still struggle defensively against them, given the league has kind of shifted towards their style of play?
So the gap is closed. You know, when Joe Lacob came out and said that the Warriors are light years ahead of everybody else, he wasn't lying. But, you know, when people play catch-up in the NBA and the people adapt, they travel at light speed. So I think the rest of the league has adapted to how to beat the Warriors. I mean, these teams draft guys. Their draft is so different. You know, that 6'7 guy used to be called a tweener. Now he's versatile. So, like, the league has all changed their style of play. Why is it so hard? I'll tell you right now. Like, if I was on the weak side and I was guarding, you know, let's just say Iguodala, and Kevin Durant had the ball, as hard as it is to stop Kevin Durant, my responsibilities are very limited. You know, I got to watch out if he turns the corner, but if he pulls up, I just got to make sure I put a body on him. The way that they play right now with the ball moving, I got to sprint out and trap. Then I got to fire back. Then when the shot goes up, I got to find a body, because they all crash the boards and you got to put two and they're constantly in rotation. So I get it. Like, it's better when you have KD, but defensively, the challenge could be more because of how much you have to rotate. And those guys, the shots that they make, you can, if you really mathematically looked and said, like, how wide open is Clay versus how wide open is CJ McCollum, they're probably very similar. But Clay's making shots from three, and CJ's making shots from two, and eventually they add up. And the same thing with Steph. You make a mistake on the offensive end or in transition, all of a sudden you're taught to sprint back to the paint. Steph pulls up for three. Boom, he hits three. So, like, those kind of things, and being on point and understanding the rotation, that just compromises your defense when those guys are making shots and when these guys are moving the ball.
Yeah, that just highlights how tough they are to stop. And I think that was the big issue for everybody, and we're just talking about it today, is Portland fans were very angry with the defensive game plan, especially against Steph Curry, because there wasn't a big guy in his face when he was coming off of screens, and you were giving the best shooter of all time just wide open look after wide open look.
We should touch on that, because it's funny. I think that Mark Jackson and Stan Van Gundy got it wrong. Like, what they want to do, and this is, I think I'm right on this, but I could be wrong, but what they want to do is they want to keep those guys on the sideline. They don't want them getting over the top. So obviously your big has to be shifted. So if Steph Curry comes off and he's on the sideline and you're in line, now the guy could pursue the ball and it works out. But if you're expecting Steph and Clay to stay pinned on the sideline, you know, you hear the terms ice or blew it. And so once they get over the top, I know that Mark and Stan Van Gundy were saying the big has to be up the floor. Well, the guard can't let the guy get over the top. The initial mistake is letting Steph and Clay get over the top. I don't know if that's Zach Collins' fault when he's down the floor and a guy all of a sudden goes over the top. If he comes up, then you're open to all kinds of layups. So I know Terry Stotts got mad about that question that was asked to him because the guy didn't get it right. But I think it goes back to Mark and Jeff not talking about the guards letting Curry get over the top. When they want to pin him on the sideline, if they're too good, you can't make that mistake, and it's not necessarily the big's fault.
Yeah. Brian Scalabrine, our guest here, dropping some knowledge about why Golden State is what they are right now as they beat Portland yesterday by 22 in Game 1 of the West Finals. He's the Radio.com insider, also SiriusXM NBA host here joining us at Scalabrine. All right, very quickly, I have an Eastern Conference question I want to get to and a nickname question with you, but I do have to ask one more about Portland. If they are able to clean it up a little more defensively, do you think they can make the corrections needed offensively to send this series tied back 1-1? Or with what you saw last night and who's available for both teams, do you just feel like they're just too outmanned to be able to win this thing?
No, I think they can win game two. But obviously, you can't get doubled up by the Golden State backcourt. They have what it takes. Yeah. Terry Stotts will make the right adjustments. I think everyone tends to overreact to game one. Remember, they're coming off an emotional win in game seven. Like, they were not set up to win that. Now, listen, this series, just imagine if Golden State would have lost six and played this, like, unbelievable game seven, and they would have got through it. The letdown after winning a game seven, that's what we saw from Portland, and we saw a well-rested Golden State team. So Portland has everything balances out after game one. Those guys have a lot of miles. They've been through a lot. So I think Portland does have what it takes. I'm the way I look at this series is no Kevin Durant, and if he plays game 6 and 7, let's just use that. I expect Portland to be up in this series. If Kevin Durant were to play, as difficult as I just mentioned how hard the Warriors are without Kevin Durant, he is still Kevin Durant, the best player in the playoffs. You know, I don't think that they can beat them without Nurkic. Like, Nurkic, to me, is a stud. I don't think he gets talked about. Probably one of the more underrated players in the league. Cantor, to me, is one of the more overrated players in the league. I mean, you know, we hear about this guy and Turkish government and all this stuff. Everyone talks about Cantor, but his defense, to me, against this team, like, I personally would rather go with Zach Collins because I think he's a better defensive player. But, you know, that's neither here or there. They're missing Nurk. No Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant comes back, I cannot see Portland beating him. But if not, this series, it can really take a big shift. And game two is something to watch out for if you're a Portland fan.
Brian Scalabrine breathing life and hope back into the Blazer fan base, man. I love it. Well, last night was kind of a double whammy for me because not only did the Blazers lose and look that way, but like Zion Williamson to me was can't miss TV at Duke. Like every time he was on, you couldn't take your eyes off of him. And then we're watching the lottery, and then we find out he's going to New Orleans. What do you make? I mean, likely going to New Orleans, I should say. What do you make of that fit and Zion potentially being a Pelican?
Yeah, you know what's interesting is what we hear is he's upset about being a Pelican. Like that's what we hear. We don't know if that's true or not. But the odds of him going to New Orleans were pretty strong. Like if the Knicks got the number one pick, there was talk of him getting traded. If the Lakers got the number one pick, there's talk of him being traded for Anthony Davis. So it was almost like he was going to end up there anyways. I was really happy for New Orleans for everything they put up with, and I think David Griffin is going to put together. Like this is it. Fast forwards now their ability to rebuild their team. They'll trade Anthony Davis for a bunch of guys, and they'll get they'll be good, and they'll be young, and for those teams, it's not like. I think for New Orleans, it's really important to get guys on rookie scales because after their contract is up, typically they're restricted free agents, so you can match them or you can extend them. So you get guys there for 8 years, and if they build something special, it could really work out for them. So I was happy for them. But you know what it did seem like, and I don't know how in-depth you guys are. You know, the Celtics, the Lakers, the Knicks, all these guys are in play for Anthony Davis. The Celtics own the Grizzlies pick moving forward. They were in the top four. The Lakers are in the Anthony Davis saga. They're in the top four. The Knicks are also connected to Anthony Davis. They're in, and clearly New Orleans is connected to Anthony Davis. It was like the Anthony Davis lottery sweepstakes when it went to commercial. Like, I mean, if all Anthony Davis did not play this year, and you guys saw him firsthand how talented he is last year, but it was all about, like, AD going to break and who's going to get AD and who's going to get Zion and where's AD going to end up. So very, very interesting that New Orleans got him. Will be a very interesting offseason. I wonder what the price tag is going to be for Anthony Davis now that David Griffin doesn't have to rush to any judgments and harsh decisions.
All right, we'll get you out of here with a two-parter then, Brian. One, your prediction for the Eastern Conference Finals, which starts tonight, Milwaukee hosting Toronto. And the nickname the White Mamba was given to you, but I'm curious if you like it, if it's played out to you, and if you had a different nickname ever.
Yeah, I had Veal Scallopini, the Vanilla Godzilla, the Ginger Ninja. But I like to entertain you guys. But,
the Vanilla Godzilla?
That is so good.
Vanilla, it is good. It's hard to stick, though. White Mamba, it works. But, I like those other ones. I respond to all of them.
Yeah.
The Ginger Ninja? Come on, man. That's pretty good. What's your other question? The East?
Hold on. Before we get to the other question, did you get the Vanilla Godzilla did a 10-year-old in a pickup game give you that because you were just dunking on children? Where did that come from?
Well, I can also dunk on a grown men, too.
That's true. I know. I didn't want to shortchange you here.
Yeah. It was, in Boston, I don't know how it is in other places, but they make shirts, and a lot of these guys make shirts like Scary Terry.
Scary Terry. Yeah.
Right? And sometimes they stick. So along the way, they tried the Vanilla Godzilla, it kind of lasted. But White Mamba wasn't started until I went to Chicago, and Stacey King sort of really made it to what it is. I was the White Mamba in my inner circles, and then once Stacey King found out, it really blew up. By then, people around their arenas wearing white Mamba shirts. So that sort of it kind of blew up from there.
That's awesome. And who's going to win the East Finals in your opinion?
Man, I want Toronto. I want Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka to not be afraid to shoot.
Yeah.
But it seems like they are, and I got Milwaukee. I'm hoping six, but it's probably going to be five. Milwaukee was so dominant, and Giannis is not only really good, athletic, plays hard, competitive. He's also like the greatest teammate I've ever seen. Usually, I'm grown accustomed to MVPs like treating their teammates like you know what. Giannis is not like that. So it's truly remarkable to watch him up close and personal. But, if Portland and Milwaukee, they go to the NBA Finals, you guys will get a firsthand look of how great this guy is individually. And you'll understand, like, I wish every kid can grow up like this guy. Hard playing, competitive, but also good to their teammates.
Yeah. Brian Scalabrini, radio.com insider, Sirius XM radio host for the NBA channel, does stuff with the Celtics as well. Brian, thanks so much for hopping back on with us. We appreciate it, and we'd love to get you back on down the road, man.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. See ya.
All right, there we go. Brian Scalabrini with his thoughts. Really good breakdown stuff. We're way over it, but really good breakdown of the Warriors and why it is so difficult to defend them. Going back to the earlier point, we're all screaming, step up, step up. We're mad at Terry Stotts.
Yeah.
It's not that simple when you're playing that team. You can't overcommit to things because they will kill you for it.
I thought his point about going over the top of a screen was really good. And
you
got to
kind of push the guy out. You can't just make it easy.
Wasn't really pointed out last night. All Jackson and Van Gundy were talking about was the big guy stepping up. Maybe there's other things Portland can do as well.
All right. We'll pivot from the Blazers. We'll talk some NBA draft lottery next on The Fan. Bang, 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 bang. All right. 121. We went long there with Brian Scalabrini, but he had some really good stuff. 1080thefan.com. Are the podcasts back up? Because Buck was tweeting out Dusty and Cam podcast. So...
yeah, I think everything's back up, so it should be up within a half hour after the show.
There we go. We're a radio station with working podcasts again. That's good to know.
Look at us.
Sorry to all listeners that haven't been able to get them the last week or two.
Back and better than ever.
Still don't understand how that's ever a possibility in 2019, but here we are. So catch it at 1080thefan.com. The draft lottery last night. I'm going to go the other way from people because I'm getting bombarded with friends and tweets, and I think I know your opinion. New Orleans won the lottery last night.
That they did.
They had, what was their percentage chance?
Six, I believe.
Six.
6% chance.
6% chance. They beat the Knicks, who had the highest or tied for the highest at 14. The Lakers snuck in there as well. Mm-hmm.
I think the Suns were the biggest fall, weren't they?
The Suns, yeah.
The Suns and the Cavs.
Cavs, yeah. Cavs were
both
the other one, that's right.
And so they are 5 and 6. I forget which order, but they're 5 and 6.
Nothing against the kid. But I'm glad that, who, by the way, he's a grown-up now. I'm glad he didn't win it again.
The Cleveland kid? Yeah.
Like, enough.
Like, they've had, I'm with you on that.
You won three damn lotteries.
You screwed up one of them. It's LeBron leaves. You end up with
another pick. Two of them.
Who was the other one?
Well, Wiggins and Bennett.
Oh, sure. But the Wiggins trade ended up with Kevin Love, and they won a title with that team. So can you say they actually screwed that up?
Yeah, because I think they would have gotten Kevin Love for the third pick or the fourth pick.
That's true.
I think the Wolves were like, sure, this isn't going anywhere. But anyways, New Orleans wins, and everybody's instant reaction is, oh, no.
Yeah, that was exactly my reaction.
Why?
Because New Orleans sucks as a basketball city.
Well, they're not a great basketball city, but like, why does that matter if he goes there? It's going to make it a better basketball city now. Would you have said Cleveland was a great basketball city before LeBron?
No, I wouldn't. They've also had one of the best players on the face of the earth, and nobody cares about him.
I think part
Anthony
of
Davis
that,
is a freak.
I'm with you.
He can't miss TV.
I'm not going to defend them not caring enough about Anthony Davis. We would love Anthony Davis here.
Yeah.
I think there is a part for some cities who aren't big basketball fans. If you're not flashy, it's hard for them to care. I'm not excusing them from that. I'm just stating why I think New Orleans views the basketball situation right now.
Sure.
Zion is.
Sure. And look, I'm not saying that like Phoenix is a better basketball city because it's not. Or Memphis had their little run with grit and grind, but that's not traditionally not a great basketball market that really cares. I saw a lot of people on Twitter last night saying this is great. New Orleans deserves this. Like,
well, they do.
Sure, but the city doesn't support the team.
I mean the team, not
so much of the
They
fans.
Had like 8 years with Anthony Davis, and they made it out of the first round of the playoffs one time.
Yeah, but then he railroaded them this year and completely
I know he did. I know that situation should have been handled better, but... Like, I often tend to lean when, and not everybody's a Damian Lillard. This is why we're lucky to have a Damian Lillard. That they haven't done much around him. And they had a long time to compile talent around one of the best players in the NBA in order to succeed at a higher level, not even a championship level, but just to go on consistent runs. And they just simply haven't been able to do it.
They only had one run, by the way, and that was last year.
That was the only playoff series they won. I think he'd only been to the playoffs one other time in his entire 10. He'd been there for, what, 7 years? And they have one other playoff series that they went to, and I believe they were like an 8 seed, and they lost to Golden State in the first round. Then they went as a 6 seed. They beat Portland in the first round. They maybe won one game, if not got swept by Golden State in the second round last year. So I didn't quite buy that whole sympathy thing. I understand it was a bad situation for them last year, but they're going to end up getting rewarded either way, whether they got the number one pick or not out of this. And there were like reporters saying, for everybody that thinks this is bad, wait till they see how, you know, Saints players are treated in New Orleans. And I'll again remind you, they've had Anthony Davis for the better part of a decade. Like, how many players in the NBA would you rather have right now than Anthony Davis?
I don't know. Maybe three or
five
four.
Five or six, maybe.
You would go five or six? No.
That's fine.
But I would go like three max, like a Giannis, a KD. Like,
sure, but even with Swag's number, you're still talking a top six player in the league.
Sure, that's and this is my point. Like, the guy was unappreciated. People didn't go. Nobody cared. They were forgotten in the NBA. Mm-hmm. That is a terrible market. Like, Zion might be able to change that because he is more of a superstar at this level of his career than Anthony Davis was after his first year at Kentucky.
He's a sexier sell, and that's why I think the ticket office went so crazy. That video blew up of them celebrating.
I didn't want
New York.
And I'm okay with that. You didn't have to go to New York.
So where did you want him to go? What city would have satisfied
Memphis
you?
Memphis would have been great.
That would have been better with Memphis than
really?
New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he'd
what's
be
the
a perfect fit in the grindhouse.
What's the difference?
Memphis is a better basketball city than New Orleans.
Well, okay, but if we're talking...
Plus, that's the only franchise there.
Yeah. Is that all you mean, though? Is, like, city and fans?
Yeah, essentially, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Memphis is going to make out great, though, with Ja Morant.
Yeah, they Ja Morant.
They need some scoring.
Jaren Jackson was a good player this year. And by the way, this is going to work out, and this is why New Orleans is going to be better off. And maybe this is what turns it around for them to start caring more about it. They have the Lakers have the fourth pick. The Lakers have Lonzo Ball, a fourth pick, maybe a future second, Anthony Davis. I don't think he's changing his mind. As much as David Griffin's a great salesman, I don't think he is. There's a great package. Now you have Lonzo, maybe RJ Barrett, mixed with Zion. That's an exciting team to go watch. They're going to suck, but that's an exciting team to go watch.
There's no doubt.
And then you get Anthony Davis with LeBron, which would suck for us in the West.
I would argue that Anthony Davis was exciting to watch.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I know there's a difference of level of excitement there.
Yeah,
Anthony Davis is going to give you 30 and 15. And he's going to have like three awesome blocks.
Yeah.
But does that beat breakaway windmill dunks? And a 6'8 guy with a linebacker body bulldozing his way in? I sound like I'm defending the fans and I'm trying not to.
I know.
I actually felt bad for that team. I thought that went terrible for them this year.
I mean, last year was a dumpster fire, and I will grant you that. If there's anybody else that is as disappointed as I am, though, it is Zion Williamson.
Well, Zion's face instantly went.
He's like, wait, what?
It was very curb your enthusiasm at the end.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. Like, and this is unfortunate, too, because I have been in New Orleans. New Orleans is an awesome city. I would love to live in New Orleans.
I don't think he feels that way. I think part of the reason was not, I don't think he's thinking about the fans. If you watch the draft lottery, and by the way, the ratings were up substantially for it, and it was quite entertaining. If you watched it, you saw his reaction. I think it was all about city.
Oh.
Because New Orleans, and you're one of the people, have told me it's a kick-ass town.
It's an amazing city.
But when you tell me New Orleans, there's not like this desire in me to go, yeah, I need to go there.
Yeah.
So I can, and imagine what he's like as an 18, 19-year-old kid who could potentially be going to L.A. or New York, and it's like, let's go to New Orleans. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm going to Louisiana.
Because you got to that Final Four, and you knew L.A. and New York were both still alive because they went to commercial, and it was L.A., New York, Memphis, and New Orleans were your four options.
I think he would have been just as bummed with Memphis as he would have been New Orleans.
And I'm with you on that. He probably would have been. I mean, look, he wanted to go to New York, and you can't blame the kid. He wanted to be a Knick. He wanted to have a chance to play for that organization.
He for sure. If we learned anything yesterday, Dirt, I think you just hit it. He, I think, showed his true cards. He wanted to be the face and the savior.
Well, can you blame him for that? Like, no. They have a chance to go out and sign Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving this offseason. You could have had Zion, Kyrie, and KD on the same team next year. Like, that could have been a position ready to win. And New Orleans now has a lot of cards to play with because they have Anthony Davis to deal, which you can pick. Do you want the Knicks with the number 3 pick if they want to trade it? The Lakers, I'm sure, are going to offer the number 4 pick plus some young talent. Like, there's going to be some wiggle room there to move Anthony Davis, and the roster is going to be ready to go right away. But again, I'll remind you, it is New Orleans, and they have not been able to build winning teams around either Chris Paul or Anthony Davis.
All right, we might have some more thoughts because there was one thing from yesterday's draft lottery that I want to at least say, and then we can move on to whatever you want to get to. We'll do that next.
Welcome back in, 135. We're talking about the NBA draft lottery last night. It happened before the Blazer game. It's kind of weird because usually you get a normal pregame show, and there was like lottery, and let's send you out to Golden State.
Well, it was weird. Yeah, they had the pregame, then they did the jump.
Yes.
And then they did the lottery, and then they went to Golden State.
Yes.
Because it was 5 o'clock. No, it was like 5:05-ish, but I was making dinner, and I said, I'll get dinner done before 6.
Right.
The lottery didn't start till 5:30, so the jump came on, and I go, what are they going to do 2 shows?
They really dragged it out, and then they did the whole American Idol thing where they got down to the Final Four, went to commercial. Yeah. I also loved that Rachel Nichols, if you watch, so she was the lead set person, and her mic was going out over the whole building. So she was like interjecting commentary in between the announcement of picks. And sometimes people were laughing about it because everybody could hear what she was saying that was in the building.
So that was one of my big takeaways, aside from like how crazy it was that the Knicks, the Suns, or the Cavs didn't get the number one pick. It was they were all live mics. So she would make a joke about Kyle Kuzma's lucky jacket and nobody would respond. And then she did it again and then everybody laughed.
Right.
She did one of like, hi, David, to David Griffin, the GM. And he never looked or talked or did anything. He acted like he didn't hear it. And I'm like, dude, the mic is, you can hear the mic over.
You can hear that.
And I don't know about you, but I found it very awkward, like very Sprague-like when in the middle of the drafting, when the Pelicans are still eligible for the number one pick, the Lakers are still eligible, Woj interjects and goes, boy, this is setting up to make interesting Anthony Davis sweepstakes. And I thought, New Orleans is here, and you're talking about them making a trade of a player they don't want to trade.
Your GM's right there.
I would have said that, but usually when I say dumb things, everybody lets me know about it, and Woj does it, and it's like, well, it's Woj, no big deal. That had to have felt awkward for the New Orleans Pelicans to hear Woj go, well, this is about who can trade for Anthony Davis now. And I'm like, they don't want to trade him.
Yeah, they don't want to get rid of him because he's an incredibly talented player and he's better than anything they're going to get back in return. So you would like to keep him. Now, I was down on New Orleans getting the pick, and a couple of people did agree with me. One person texted and grew up in New Orleans. It's cool for about 6 months and you realize you live there. The smell of pee and barf can only be fun for so long. Zion is screwed.
Yeah, you've explained that New Orleans is like Vegas light. Like you're there for 2 days, 2 nights. That's kind of perfect.
That's about enough. Now, there are nice areas outside of Bourbon Street, but I get that. I would understand that sentiment. It's really cool to be there, but I see, like, if you actually live there, it might be a little too much. Another one said, I agree. I think New Orleans is a problem, not Anthony Davis. Them getting another potential superstar seems like a total dud already. Why does Dame love Portland? The city is big on basketball, and New Orleans is just a bad basketball city. Does he have the power to make New Orleans a good basketball city?
Would Dame be the same way if we didn't win? To me, it's about winning. Like, Dame loves to win, and I think Dame
but he hasn't won much.
But he's at least winning 45 to 50 games and going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about that, right?
I guess I think the follow-up to that would he be the same if the basketball was the same level, but we had a half-empty arena every night?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not arguing your point about the fan base. I'm just saying I did not like the way Davis handled it, and I think we have so many different examples of players that go to cities that are traditionally boring that suddenly make them interesting.
Yeah.
Steph going to Golden State. Like, quite frankly, if we're being honest, nobody gave a rip about Golden State.
No, Golden State was a terrible organization.
Like, people were like, oh, Monte Ellis's team? That's so cute. I haven't paid attention since they had Mullen and Chris Webber. But you get Steph Curry, and it's transformative. Now, their fans were substantially better, so I don't want people to misconstrue that. But I'm just saying, I think he has a LeBron-like ability to have a huge impact, be a franchise guy, and draw people into the arena. Yeah,
I would hope so, man. I would hope so. Now, is anybody out there buying into the conspiracy theories that he should do something other than just be the number one overall pick?
No, no. You got to be the number one overall pick.
Because that's been floated that either A, he goes back to Duke for a year, because he can do that. By the way, one of the things I love about Zion, he looks like he bought like a suit at Macy's.
Right. I mean, maybe he did.
I'd love
it. He's from a no-name town in South Carolina.
Yeah, like everybody else is wearing like style and profile, and he showed up in like just, it looked like a run-of-the-mill suit. The shirt was a little too big. The sleeves and the jacket were kind of off.
Well,
yeah.
Well, most of the guys that have already inked up with agents, so their agents are basically covering. They bring a tailor in, get them all suited up. They get them two or three. And
they could use the money they got paid to play college basketball, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, he could have used that Duke money.
I mean.
It's not like Coach K wasn't handing him a couple stacks.
R.J. Barrett had a really nice suit. But I did find it. But people have said you could either go back to Duke, you could demand, I'm not going to play for New Orleans.
Just go. Pull a Steve Francis.
Steve Francis. And I had forgotten about that until last night.
Didn't want to be a Vancouver Grizzly. Wanted to be a Houston Rocket.
Yeah. It worked, though.
I'm going to be a little bit jealous. Like, we have our guy here, but I'm going to be jealous of the Pelicans because I think they're getting a really good one. Not just because of how great he is when he's playing.
He seems like a good dude.
He seems like such a good kid and one of those really good leaders who just leads by example with a little bit of the rah-rah when he gets those breakaway dunks.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not putting much stock in those theories. Also, will Memphis now be able to trade the Conley contract? Because they're for sure going to take Ja Morant.
Well, yeah, if I'm Utah, I want it.
Or do you want it?
If I'm Utah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Or do you want Conley in the fold to groom Morant?
No, because I don't think they're going to be good next year.
Okay.
I mean, you preferably would want to keep guys who have been there their entire career, but...
Same position. He's the heir apparent to Grit and Grind, the Grindhouse.
No, I let Conley try to go to a contender. Like, would the Spurs take him on?
Ooh.
I don't know
what their cap situation is.
They're in the same division, I believe, and that might not be... Because
he's got one of those massive deals.
175? Was that what he got?
Oh, God. Something like that.
He got one of those. Were you, first of all, did you think the Lakers were going to win when they just kept not getting called?
Yeah.
I did too.
Yeah.
I said, oh, my God.
And that was, okay, if they get this, then the fix is in.
Oh, you thought you were going to go fix
I'm
is
like,
in?
We're gonna the go fix. Fix is in if that happens.
So there's two things I also wanted to point out about this. One, I got to credit Bill Simmons because he did a draft show yesterday. Do you know how many teams have won with their number one overall pick a title?
Ooh. Well, LeBron with Cleveland.
Yes. Kind of. Yes.
But sure, I mean, he left, but he came back.
Technically, yes.
Technically, he was the number one pick in Cleveland and won a title with Cleveland.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the number one pick.
With the number one overall pick.
With the number one overall
pick. Two guys did it for the same team.
The Spurs?
Robinson and Duncan.
That should have been obvious.
There's another obvious one once you hear it.
Trying to think of it. Is it recent or old school?
It's a little old school.
A little older school?
Trying to think who were the number one picks.
Think there's one that falls right in our wheelhouse. Because we didn't take him.
Akeem? No.
Yep.
Akeem
Olajuwon, 84.
Yeah.
84 draft, that's right.
And then I believe there was only one more. These are number one overall picks,
number
not
one
the
pick,
team's
yeah.
first pick.
No, the number one overall
There's
pick.
There's only one more.
I couldn't get Akeem. I'm not going to be able to get the last one.
Two more.
Abdul-Jabbar with Milwaukee.
Yep.
Okay. So going
before he went to the Lakers.
Yep.
Was Magic the number one pick?
Who
was the number one pick?
Yeah, he was. 79.
Yeah, he was 79.
I forgot
with
about
the
Magic.
Lakers.
Okay, the Magic, okay. Magic won a bunch of them.
By the way, I want to note this. I looked this up because I was interested in this stat.
Yeah.
And Simmons on the podcast was like, there's only been three ever. And I'm like,
well,
no, there
that
hasn't.
Doesn't make sense.
So Magic, and then there's one that you're overlooking. Local.
Local.
Who, Walton?
Bill Walton.
Yeah.
Bill Walton.
Yeah.
That's right.
Number one overall in 74.
That's right.
My point on that was the list is not long.
Right. So just because you get the number one pick doesn't mean it's going
to
translate.
It does not mean you're going to end up winning the championship with whoever it is that you pick.
Yeah. By the way, the Conley contract, so it was a $152 million deal. He has 2 years left on it. He's going to make $32.5 million this upcoming season. And then 2020-2021 is the final year. He makes $34.5 million.
I mean, that's a big contract.
Especially
for a guy who doesn't stay healthy.
That's a big number. Yeah, I did find that funny because everybody was ready for their conspiracy theories last night when the Knicks and Lakers were ready to get it. And then it turns out to be New Orleans and Memphis.
Yeah. Had the Knicks gotten it, I don't think it would have been just because they had statistically one of the best chances. So I'm okay, whatever. Yeah.
But the Lakers,
Lakers gotten the number one pick, I would have been raising eyebrows.
I actually was really happy the Knicks didn't get it. What situation did you really want, though?
I mean, to be honest with you, I wanted New York to get it.
You did?
I did. Just to see him play in New York. Again, it doesn't mean it's going to translate to them being good, but him playing at Madison Square Garden.
They're going to be on every primetime game if he is in New York.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I don't watch a lot of primetime basketball.
You're right there.
It might have forced James Dolan to back the hell off and not screw it up.
No chance he does that. No chance.
That's right. Like, if I had to pick, I would rather
have
him.
You can't change your stripes that many years in the game.
Like, would you rather have the next big phenom in baseball play for the Cubs or the
Minnesota Twins?
The Minnesota Twins.
But this is my point on the Curry stuff. Like, now I wouldn't pick the Twins. I'd want the Cubs.
I know. He's got to turn it into it.
But when you make the team great,
he's got to do that, though.
Stop caring about that.
He's got to do that,
though. Do you think he has the ability?
No, I don't.
Oh.
No.
You don't think he's got the ability to make them a good franchise?
Anthony Davis couldn't. Is he going to be better than Anthony Davis? This again gets back to my point.
He might be. He might end up being.
He might end up being. But as of right now.
No.
Right, Anthony Davis is a top 3 or 4 player in the league.
Yeah, I can't go on board with saying he's better than
him
now.
So if you can't do it with Anthony Davis, that is my ultimate point.
By the way, a listener coming up with another one.
Kyrie Irving, too.
Kyrie in Cleveland.
Yeah. So there you go.
Not a very long list.
Not a very long list. Not many number one picks. Okay, let's get to a couple of football things, shall we? We have a scheduling announcement. Also, what the hell are the Jets doing? Crunch time on the Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was out at the Glorious House of Gaines today.
Let's go! Nice job!
I see you there, too. Were you there?
I was there.
Look at that.
I showed up at 8:05. Got there at 8:05.
Nice little workout on a Wednesday. By the way, James Worthy.
Yeah, I added him to the list. So
it's another one to add to the list.
I'm cutting this off at 1970 because, quite frankly, I'm not going back to the archives before that.
Nobody wants to go back that far. This also shows Bill Simmons said there were only 3 of them.
I'm telling you, he said it, and I was like,
wait a minute, what?
And then he named the 3, LeBron and then the Duncan Robinson, and I go, well, Akeem was taken number one. I know that.
Well, and LeBron's teammate, Kyrie Irving, was the number one overall pick.
Well, look, he's a basketball savant, but he forgets things sometimes. So I counted it since 1970. You have got, let's see, Walton, Lou Alcindor, Akeem, Duncan Robinson, Kyrie, LeBron, Magic Worthy. 9.
Okay, that's our official list.
Yes.
Can you come up with another one? 55305.
Probably will be one more, but of the 49 number one picks, only 9 players have delivered a championship to the team that picked them.
In the last 49 years. That's pretty wild. And a couple of them ended up playing on the same team, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got Kyrie, LeBron, you got Magic Worthy, and Luau. Well, he did for the Bucks.
So he won one first. But still, he ended up winning ones.
But Duncan Robinson, Kyrie, LeBron.
Similar teams. We'll get back into the Blazers coming up. Final hour stat or story as well. A couple of football notes for you. I saw this earlier today. Not that this was a shocker, but just nice to see. ABC officially announced their first 3 Saturday night primetime games of the college football season. So week 1, week 2, week 3. So it'll be August 31st, September 7th, and September 14th. And the Oregon Ducks made the list. Their game against Auburn will be the primetime game opening weekend, opening night of college football, August 31st, 4:30 Pacific.
I think we kind of assumed this was going to happen.
Yeah,
but
you assumed it.
This is still good news because there's been games time to time where ABC, ESPN overlook it and they give you the crappier game.
I also looked down the entire that Saturday.
The 31st Saturday?
All the games that day to figure out if there's anywhere else ESPN Game Day could go. I don't see it.
Yeah. This is kind of the only candidate.
I mean, it's also Jerry World, right? And there's a good that's a good setting when they set up right in front of the stadium.
Plus, Herb Street's going to be on the call, so they don't have to fly him anywhere else. But there's, like, Clemson's going to play on the Thursday night ahead of time. Texas A&M, or Notre Dame plays on the Monday. Oklahoma plays on the Sunday of Labor Day because they spaced all those games out for Labor Day weekend because there's no NFL.
Right, you spread them out.
There's no other. The only other thing that's close to an interesting big matchup is Florida State playing Boise State in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and that's not going to get it over Auburn, Oregon.
So, no, I'd be shocked if ESPN Game Day was anywhere else but that game.
So there you go, 4:30 opening weekend. By the way, week two, they have announced LSU at Texas is your primetime game.
There you go.
And then week three, you get Clemson at Syracuse.
Syracuse almost beat them last year
at
Clemson
Syracuse?
With a backup quarterback.
Well, they knocked him out. I mean, give him some credit for laying the wood a little bit here. Right, Dino Babers, baby.
Okay, look, don't mess with Babers.
Although it is at Syracuse.
Syracuse doesn't have, what is that kid's?
Gundy, right?
No.
Dungy.
They don't have him anymore.
Dungy's gone.
Pride of Lake Ridge High School.
Yeah. Lakers?
Is he the best athlete from Lake Ridge ever?
What do you get? Pacers.
Pacers.
Yeah, you guys are Lakers.
J.J. Burden is probably the best athlete from Lake Ridge ever. Former NFL wide receiver.
J.J. Burden went to Lake Ridge?
Yeah.
Are you guys sure you're not the Lakers?
No, that's like Oswego. I'm going to come in there and slap you around.
I thought Laco was like the...
That was the...
Something else.
No, the Lake Oswego Lakers
but
and the Lake Ridge
Lakers
Pacers.
Makes sense.
It does, yeah. You should be double L's.
You guys
should
already
fight
taken.
And you should fight for the name.
No.
LL.
We'll fight over other things, but not that. I don't want that name. It's a dumb name.
I told Anthony Newman when we were having a meeting last year to do the Oregon football pregame stuff, and Anthony's like the nicest guy on the planet, and I felt bad because the first thing I said to him was, like, dude, I used to go to your camps every year as a kid.
So did I.
The Anthony Newman J.J. Burden camp. I still have, like, shirts laying around my house. That was a huge deal every summer.
It was a big, big deal if you went to that camp.
Yeah.
J.J. held the – I think he held the triple jump record for the district track and field for a long time, too.
There you go.
That's back from way back in the day.
So. I'm going to look this up. I think you guys are the Lakers. It.
No, we're the Pacers.
The Pacers?
Yeah.
That's Park Rose's middle school mascot. That's a terrible name.
The Park Rose Pacers?
Yeah.
That's not good.
We went, because you know what Pacers are, right?
Double P.
What?
Double PP.
Oh, yeah. Who we went
initials.
From? Do you know what a Pacer is?
No, I don't know what a Pacer is.
I'm assuming it's a horse of some sort because that was...
No?
What is it?
Wrong on that?
For
our
Lake
middle
Ridge,
school yearbook was a Pacer, and it said, and there was a horse on it. And I'm like, okay, I guess it's a weird type of horse.
No, ours was purely abstract because the school was founded in 1971, and it was about being pace setters and leaders and all that sort of stuff.
It is a pace setter or a horse bred or trained to have a distinctive lateral gait in which both legs are on the same side or lifted together, used in some types of racing.
So, I mean, there's a horse in there.
Yeah, we
somewhere.
Do not have a horse as a mascot.
You don't have a pace horse?
There is no official mascot.
I got to be real. That's a terrible name, though.
Yeah, Pacers just isn't a good name.
Lake Ridge Pacers? That doesn't even sound good when you say it.
Doesn't flow off the tongue.
Makes me want to go to Lake Oswego.
You are going to get swaggered.
You're
so
get
fired up.
Pummeled after the show.
By the way, one other
you
football
still carry the vengeance. I like that.
Still angry
like
about
that.
It.
Yep. People don't forget. It's real to me.
Oregon-Auburn opening weekend, 4:30. The other one, the Jets. This is just, I think, a brilliant move, right? You allow them to orchestrate free agency and then pick who they want in the draft and then fire them. Just a phenomenal strategy. The Jets fired their general manager, Mike Maganen, and they also fired president of player personnel, Brian Heimerdinger, which is a great name. And they have promoted Adam Gase, who, remember, was fired in Miami because, you know, they didn't have a lot of success. Not only their head coach, he is now their interim general manager as well. So things are going well in New York.
Do you think there's like somebody big coming and they're just not talking about that?
Could be. I don't know.
What's looming on the horizon?
What's looming on the horizon?
Yeah, I thought this was a replay of some sorts, and then ESPN kicked off again, and they said breaking news, and I said, whoa. Did you see why they fired him, by the way? It was hilarious. So reportedly, they fired him because Adam Gase didn't want to sign Le'Veon Bell to that contract.
Oh.
And the GM said, don't care, Adam. We're signing him.
We want Le'Veon Bell anyways.
And then I think they had a huge dispute with the owner. The owner probably didn't want to fire the coach he just hired. So
the GM falls on the sword.
He picked the general manager. This very Jetsy move.
Look at that. We're all out here playing checkers and the Jets are playing chess, man. Well, there you go.
To sum up this segment of not knowing Pacers, Cody tweeted us and said Simmons was specifically talking about the lottery era.
Okay.
Which may I miss that part.
And that makes sense because post 1985, you have three guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Frozen envelope.
Yeah. Okay. Crunch time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour, the Eastern Conference Finals start tonight. Are we excited for that? Milwaukee and Toronto, Giannis and Kawhi.
Yeah.
Get to that. Oh, Swigart. Wow.
Really?
Okay. We have poll questions to answer. I threw a couple of those out today.
Lakers-like response.
Yeah, we got to get to Saturday's story at 2:15. Middle fingers are up. Let's start the final hour, though, with the Portland Trail Blazers as they drop Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. How are we feeling? How can they adjust for Game 2? Talk some Blazers next on The Fan.